Welcome to the anointed teaching and preaching at Arena of Life Church and Ty Jones Ministry. We believe that you'll be blessed by this message you're about to hear.
Amen. Travis, the worship team did a great job. Worship, amen. Well, this is going to be a little different tonight. How many like things different? Amen. Well, first of all, it's going to be a little different because I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to scoot up here in front. Come on front. Come on down. Come on down. Miss Vicki, you need to sit on the other side of Miss Brandy, if you would. Vicki, would you move on the other side? Just move on down. Come on. Get out of your comfort zone, eh? All right? All right. This is, come on, Miss Bonnie. Y'all come on down. Come on, Miss Debbie. We got security out there. Y'all move on down here. Amen. It's going to be like a living room tonight. It's going to be like our living room. Good deal. Amen. Amen. All right. That's right. Hello, Matthew. All right. All righty. Well, while you're getting settled, I'm going to need two volunteers. I need those two seats right there, Brandon. You need to move on to the other side of Vicki or Vicki scoot down. I'm just doing what the Holy Ghost showed me, all right? All right. I need two volunteers, but wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. Here's the criteria. I got two criteria of this. The first one is you got to be spirit-filled, but you got to pray in the Holy Spirit a lot. A lot. You can do that, all right? Here's the second one is you got to desire, not just want it, you got to desire with passion. I mean, you're so hungry for it that you just hunger for it all the time. You hunger to move in the gifts of Spirit. Now, who's those two? All right, Miss JD, who's the other one? You pray in the Spirit. All right, come on down. All right. Well, y'all gonna need to bring you a pen. No, sit right over there. Change seats. All right, you need a pen and a pad. Amen. I told you it's gonna be different. Pen and a pad. All right. They both pray in the Spirit. And you're both hungry, hungry, hungry to flow in the gifts of Spirit. Amen. Good for you. All right. All right, now I want y'all just to, I'm not saying just tune me out, but I want you to sit here and just begin to pray in the Spirit tonight. You can listen to. You can multitask. Amen? I pray in the Spirit and drive. All right? But I want you to pray in the Spirit, but I want you to hear from God. And I want you to write down what you hear God saying to you. He may just say you a word. He may say you a phrase. He may tell you something. But just, God's going to use you in a minute. Take a deep breath, JD. All right. All right. Praise God. All right, if you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, you know, I preached two messages a few weeks ago on Sunday morning, and they were basically about, one was, what's the purpose of hearing from God? The second was more about how to hear from God. And I think those are, you know, it's very, very important. You know, God is very vocal. God speaks all the time. And God desires to communicate. I mean, he created you to listen. He created you with spiritual ears and natural ears. And God has a voice. And God speaks all the time. And I think every little single solitary thing, I don't care how minute it is, I know we're not all going to do this, all of our very minute things, but we need to learn to do more things by hearing and obeying the voice of God. Because it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. It'll make you be blessed. It'll just help you. And so it's very, very important that we listen to God's voice. Sometimes we pray and then we hang up. It's like me calling my wife and I just tell her I'm out of town. I tell her all these things and just say bye, hang up. I never heard what she had to say. She might want to impart something in my life that I really needed, but I didn't take time to listen to her. You know, God wants to communicate with you. But, you know, besides on the individual deal, this is very, very important that we hear the voice of God, concerning the spiritual gifts. All right, let's just read some scripture here. Verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed. And let's skip down. There are diversities of gifts, or different kinds of gifts, all kinds of gifts, but the same what? Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but in the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And what did he just say? He says, the manifestation, what's manifestation? Something you can see and something you can hear, something that's tangible, is given to who? All. All. See, God wants all of us, not just part of us. I know there's offices, and we're not going to talk about that tonight. There's different ministries. We're not going to talk about those tonight. But in the gifts of Spirit, is given to all. To why? To profit all. To profit all. See, we need you to use your gift that God gives you. And your gift can vary from time to time. You don't always, you may flow in a certain gift stronger than you do others, but we can flow in all the gifts. Did you know Jesus Christ, you know, if I had time, I'd go through there example by example and show you how he flowed in every single solitary gift. All right. But the manifestation, for the one is given the word of wisdom. You say word and then say words. Word of wisdom. Through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge, through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. See, it talks about the gifts of Spirit. Now, let me just kind of go back through and just, usually once a year, I teach on the gifts of Spirit. Do it. We used to have Wednesday night services every week. Well, I just start off and I do a series there and I talk about one gift at a time. Well, let me clarify some things. It says, when it talks about faith, he's not talking about just faith, because you and I, we're all to have faith. He's talking about a supernatural kind of faith. All right. He's talking about it. Another thing here we might get confused about is different kinds of tongues, another interpretation of tongues. Well, is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit? No. No. See, this is to be used corporately. Tongues and interpretation tongues. And it's a gift that God wants you to, maybe you to use in a corporate body. But each of us should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, I wish I could just take a whole rest of the night and just talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't think anything, you know, the greatest life changer I had was when Jesus Christ came to my life. But the next greatest life changer, it empowered me. It made the Bible become clearer to me in many, many areas. And hearing the voice of God so much clearer was when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to pray in another language. See, God has given you a heavenly language. I'm going to go through scripture after scripture telling you, prove that it is true. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because it will give you power. Jesus said it would. And so, you know, that's the thing, you know, we'll make sure that these are different than what we see normally, faith and working miracles, than just what we think is normal. You know, sometimes we tend to think that what we call the revelatory gifts, what's revelatory gifts, those that are by revelation to reveal things, are which are the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and prophecy. Those are the revelatory gifts. I usually break them down in three different categories. But they're the only ones that really require hearing the voice of God. Because if you have a word of wisdom for somebody, how do you get that word of wisdom? It's not your natural wisdom God wants to use. Oh, yeah, God wants you to use your natural wisdom from time to time. But there's times that your human mind doesn't have enough knowledge to answer that problem. So he wants to give you a word of wisdom. And a word of wisdom is not just one word. It can be words of wisdom. We call it a word of wisdom, but it's in entirety, it's really one word. Just one thought, not several different thoughts. All right. And then we have the gift of prophecy. All right. You know, sometimes we think that those are the only ones that require hearing the voice of God. Well, let's look at the gift of faith, supernatural faith. You know, its faith is beyond your level of faith. Your level of faith. You and I here tonight, we all have different levels of faith, but God has given us all the gift of faith. See, we're to exercise faith. We're to live by faith. You know, faith should be a big part of our life. And faith is trusting God. And faith is expectation that God will do what he says he'll do. But then there comes that supernatural faith that's beyond any faith that we can imagine. Well, let me just tell you, you remember when Peter got out of the boat? Well, he didn't have faith to do that, but he had supernatural faith because he heard from God. So if he hadn't heard from God, do you think he would just step out of the boat because he saw Jesus? Probably not. But when Jesus says, come, see, it gave him supernatural faith to do something. Mary, the same thing. You know, she couldn't comprehend how she didn't have enough faith to get pregnant without a man, but much less by the Holy Spirit. But she had supernatural faith when the angel said, told her how, and she said, well, just let it be in me unto your word. Just like you said, let it happen to me. See, she had a supernatural faith. You know, we're to have that supernatural faith, but it takes hearing God. You can't move this high level of faith unless God speaks to you about it, because he'll tell you things that look so impossible to you. I remember a lady one time, she came down the altar here, and she was in a wheelchair, and her husband told me she'd been in a car wreck 12 years prior. She's a believer. He was a believer. They've been praying for 12 years for healing, and she was paralyzed from the waist down. And my faith was in the faith that I just prayed for. I knew it was the will of God to heal her. But to be honest with you, my faith wasn't the faith to get her out of the wheelchair. I couldn't just jerk her up there and say, walk. I didn't have that kind of faith. But here's what happened. Something that night, she heard the voice of God. And so I prayed for her. And I asked her, I said, and many times I pray for somebody, I want to see you do something. You know, if I have a word of knowledge that God's healed you of a bad back, I want to see you bend over. Do something. You got to put action with your faith. And so I said, what can you do? What can you do? She said, if someone would hold my purse, I think I'd get out of this wheelchair. And I said, honey, I'll hold your purse. She got out of that wheelchair, and she walked from here to the back and back here, and then she ran back, and then she ran back again. And been in a wheelchair for 12 years. See, it just took supernatural faith to make that happen. And so it comes by hearing the voice of God. And then let's talk about working miracles. You know, Jesus, we all agree that Jesus did many miracles. But, you know, everyone he did by hearing what God had to say. He heard his Father's voice. Oh, discerning of spirits. You know, discerning of spirits, you sometimes you can't know things by knowledge. You just got to hear that inner voice. And a lot of times I flow in the discerning of spirits because God gives me the ability to read somebody, see where they're coming from. You may be talking one way, but I'm hearing something else. You're not who you really say you are. You know, I pick up on things. I've done this ever since we've been married. Pick up on different spirits and people. Okay? That comes not by knowledge, but by a voice, an inward voice. Tongues and interpretation of tongues, you know, they're not produced by your natural mind. See, that's why a lot of people struggle with baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of tongues, because they think God is going to just take your tongue over and just begin to manipulate you like a robot. God's not going to do that. He's going to put something on the inside of you. You know, Pastor Eddie and Pastor Tammy at our associate church in Tucumcari, New Mexico, that's their strong gift. I don't think I've ever been in service in the last 5 years over there that Pastor Eddie would get up and have a word in tongues. And then Pastor Tammy would just get up and give the interpretation. See, they've developed the gift. They desired that gift. And they don't just do it by notes they had wrote down. You know, they just begin with one word. And that one word is followed by another word, by another word, by another word, by another word. Where those words come from? We can say, well, they come from the mind, but who put them in their mind? See, if you're tuned into God, see, our minds can be tuned into a lot of things. And that's why it's so important that especially when we come to the house of God, we'll not just come in the house of God without being prepared to come to the house of God. So we get in position with God and begin to listen to God's voice, and then those words that come to us, because we position ourselves in Him, we can hear the voice of God speaking to us, and that comes out naturally. All right. All gifts are activated by hearing and obeying the voice of God. See, if you're going to flow in the gifts, you're going to have to activate them, but you have to obey the voice of God. God's vocal. God's very vocal. So I want to just kind of focus on a word of knowledge tonight and prophecy, because that's two I'll flow in. And I think it tends to be more about the hearing the voice of God. You know, here's what a word of knowledge is, or prophecy. They're meant to connect others to their divine destinies and God's perfect will. And so you look at chapter 12 here, and then you look at chapter 13, and you look at 14. We're going to kind of scan both of them. I'm not going to read a lot of scripture out. But sandwiched in between the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the offices in the church, the gifts or the ministries in the church, the offices in the church. And then in 14 deals with prophecy mainly and tongues. But right in between is chapter 13, which is known as what? The love chapter. The love chapter. You know, let me just read to you verse 1 of chapter 14. I think that's what we do. It says, after concluding chapter 13. See, Paul didn't put these in chapters and verses. This is just recorded. And so in verse 14, verse 1, it says, pursue. Now, when you pursue something, what do? You go after it. It says, pursue love. Pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands how ever in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. And verse 3 says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So, you know, here's what all the gifts are meant to do. They're meant to reveal God's love. Why does God heal? God loves. Why does God deliver someone? God loves. Why does God reveal his plans? God's love. Why does God speak to you? God's love. See, all that God does is motivated by his love for you and I. And so he says, pursue love. You know, here's the gifts, and we're to flow in the gifts, and he says, pursue what? Prophecy, but pursue love. Because love, you know, what the gifts are meant to do is reveal God's love, but also reveal his desire. See, when God, you know, I flow very regular in the gift of knowledge. I hardly ever come to church service anywhere that either in service that day or before I get to church, God gives me a word of knowledge. And so what does that do? Well, it just, when somebody has, I had a word for Sabrina Sunday morning. I said, I didn't know for Sabrina. I said, God is healing someone today that has a condition in their throat, and it's either cancer or hiatal hernia. And I said, who's that? She immediately stood up. So how's your swallowing? Awesome, amen? No medication before, you had a hard time swallowing? She said, in fact, I didn't even have to pray for her because she got up. She said, when I got up, I could swallow. So she got healed. Why? Because she heard not my voice, she heard God say, I was just the delivery boy. God said, I'm healing somebody with a throat condition. And, you know, two things it does, it's just a very personal thing, but it builds faith. I mean, when God says something, how many believe he's going to do it? Amen? We all respond that way. If God spoke to you about doing something, yeah, you ought to expect him to do it. Amen? So God reveals his love, but he reveals his desire. But here's also what the gifts do. They bring glory to God. They always bring glory to God. You know, we need prophets. And I'm not talking about gift of prophecy. We need prophets to speak to our lives, to bring correction. See, that's what a prophet does. Elijah was a prophet. Elisha was a prophet. Oh, a lot of Old Testament were prophets. Jesus was a prophet. You know, their words bring correction to us. But let me tell you this. That's not a spiritual gift. That's an office. That's an office. Prophecy is not an office. It's a gift. And here's what true prophecy does. True prophecy undercovers the treasure in someone and doesn't reveal the dirt. See, so many times you see people saying they operate out of the voice of a prophet there, and they're not looking for the treasure inside you to reveal it. They want to air your dirty clothes. And I don't think God doesn't mean to embarrass people. You know, there's times, you know, that the very first time, and I was a Baptist. I mean, pure D, 100% Baptist single guy. And I was involved in a married group in a very large Baptist church in Austin, Texas. And I don't know how I got it. I was in the singles deal, but I was also, I spoke to the married couples. Not about marriage. I just taught faith, different things that God had given me the gifts to teach in. But the guy that was head of it, I mean, it's a huge class. It was, you know, probably 150, 200 people, married couples, all young, big church. And so he was over this whole group. And I'd go to all their parties and barbecues and cookouts and all that kind of stuff. You know, I was the only single person there, and they was always trying to, they didn't know Luann yet, or didn't even know Luann. They was always trying to hook me up with somebody else. And so I was one thing that, when I got saved, God showed me how to, I was broke as, I mean, I was so broke, couldn't pay attention. And I began to apply God's principles and finances, and God began to bless me and bless me and bless me and bless me and bless me. And I was doing very well, very, very well. And he could see it. He could see it. And so he came to me one day. He said, I need to have lunch with you. I said, okay. And he said, we had lunch there, and we talked about some things about church. And we get in my car, take him back wherever he was. And so he said, I'm tithing. And he said, you're tithing. I said, God blessing the socks off you. But he said, I'm just going broke tithing. And here, all of a sudden, I heard it inside, and before I could stop it, it came outside. I mean, if I'd known the whole context, I would have stopped it. I said, "Here's the reason that you're not prospering." Your proverb says, or Psalm says, "He who covers his sin will not what prosper." I said, "Here's why you're not prospering." And I said, "Because you're having sex with," and I called the guy's wife's name, I called her name, called her husband's name. They were friends. This couple went to that same Sunday school class. I said, "You having sex with her in model homes?" The guy, I mean, he turns red. Is her T-shirt gets out of my car and slams the door. I thought he broke the window of my car, and I mean, I am so embarrassed. And so I didn't go back to work. I go to my pastor. I said, I did something very bad today. And this guy, you know, he was kind of on the cutting edge of a Baptist. You know, he believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, though we didn't pray in tongues. He believed in the gifts of the Spirit, but we didn't exercise in our church there. He believed in deliverance because we had a deliverance team in our church, which is big for a Baptist church. And I said, Pastor, here's what I told Les today. And he turned white. He said, how could you have known? He said, I am counseling that girl that you accused him of having sex with. And she told me, he's a realtor. They go to open houses. He locks the door. They have sex on a regular basis. He knew what it was. And see, you know, we're just saying what we hear. We need to train ourselves to hear and say what we hear. You know, God wants us to see what he sees. You know, I think so many times we want to flow in the gifts, but the reason we want to flow in the gifts is because we want to exalt ourselves. Oh, I had a word of knowledge at church today and people got healed. I had a word of prophecy. You know, we want to self-elevate ourselves. But, you know, God wants us to see people. If we can ever learn this, we can change this church. We can change Amarillo, Texas. If we can see how Jesus sees. If we see people like Jesus sees them. See, we look at people there and we put them in a box. And God wants to see, you know, God looks at everybody with the same eyes. I love them so much I gave my son for them. I love them more than I love this universe. I love them more than anything. God's passion for you. But God wants us to see. You know, that's why he healed the woman that was bent over, the daughter of Abraham, because he saw it wasn't right. And when God sees people that's crippled by disease and crippled by things, you know, God knows that's not right. He wants us to see that. He don't want to stick a finger and say, you're like that because of this. God wants us to see people. And God wants us to hear what he says. You know, I'm not saying that God's not couldn't if he wanted desire to, because God's sovereign. God every Sunday morning, God could have, here's the word of knowledge for that knowledge today. Here's the word of prophecy for today. I'm speaking to you. We'd hear this sound from heaven there. God's going to use you and I. See, you and I are to be God's mouthpiece. He could send angels to win the lost, but no, he sends us. We're his mouthpiece. So God wants us to see what he sees. God wants us to hear what he says. And then God wants us to speak what we hear. God's not going to reveal something to you and you just sit on it like an egg the rest of your life. What if you're here tonight and God had a very prophetic word for this church there, and you say, well, I don't know if I heard from God, and I'm just going to sit on it until it hatches. Well, you'll be sitting there until Jesus comes. See, you got to speak what you hear. God's not going to make you. You know, the reason that we do this is God wants us to love how he loves. See, my motivation for getting someone healed is not to put another notch on my belt. My motive for getting somebody healed is because I'm so desperate for you. I so love you like God loves you. It hurts me when you hurt. To have compassion like that. So that's what the gift's for, that we can do this. You know, I want to just real quick here and just say, you know, tell you how I flow in the gift of knowledge, word of knowledge, and prophecy. Most of the time, I hear an inward voice. I'll hear throat problem, back problem, foot problem, cancer. You know, one of the weirdest, I've heard some really weird things. And, you know, to be honest with you, when I first started flowing, let me back up. Several years ago, I desired to see people healed. And me and Luann, we got married. We saw miracles. One of the first miracles we saw was God did a creative miracle in a young man that didn't have a hip socket. And God overnight put a hip socket and a ball joint in the young man. He began to walk first time in his life. Creative miracle. And we saw so many miracles. We saw people healed. But I was so disappointed because everybody didn't get healed. I know. I mean, even today, not everybody's getting healed, but I know it's the will of God. I know it's the will. There's no doubt in my mind. And see, we can't have that doubt. And I wanted people healed. You know, I see a baby that has cancer. I remember we went to a hospital to pray for a young baby that less than 2 years old that had leukemia when Luann, and God healed him. I mean, it hurt to see that baby lay there. And I want to see people healed. So I began to do this, and God just kind of sovereignly began to move me into the word of knowledge and seeing people healed. And to be honest with you, when I first began to flow in the word of knowledge, you know, I was very, very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable about it. but I know it's a gift. Sometimes I will see things. Luann's a seer. She sees things. She'll see. I remember one time we were in a home in Florida having a dinner party. And Luann, I see her. I said, God, it's fixing to happen. Because I saw how, I know when she gets into it. I just knew she's going to say something. We was eating dinner with about, 15, 20 people. His home there. And all of a sudden she said, I saw you in a little yellow dress and you were a little bitty girl. And I can't remember, she got mad at God. She had a friend that died. Yeah. I saw you in the yellow dress on. And you got mad at God because your friend died. She had no idea. She's met the girl. And the girl broke, but she got healed of it. She got healed of it. And see, you know, God wants to use you. And so, you know, she does this. You know, I heard this neat testimony here when I was in Florida. Publix is a big grocery store chain there. Very big. I mean, near to ever, no, Brandon, you're not going to say it. Near there, you don't see any other chains. It's always Publix. They had every shopping center. And they're Christian-based. Just found that out. There's a guy that goes to Powerhouse Church, young guy. And he had this dream. And in the dream, he saw himself praying for this man that he knew. He didn't know the man. He saw the man, but he knew the wife because the wife worked in Publix. This guy, he's like a maybe a produce manager, a meat manager. He wasn't a big manager. And so he had this dream. And when he prayed for that guy, he saw him get healed. And so he began to pray for that man. And he knew by knowledge from the wife that her husband had stage 4 cancer. No chance of living. No chance. And so, but he knew he heard from God in that dream. So that's why it's important, you know, I believe God counsels during our night seasons when we're sleeping. And so it's good to write things down. I mean, you know, God, nearly most profound things God ever spoke to me, he speaks to me in the morning, I'll get up and I'll write it down. And so he heard this voice. I mean, he heard in the dream that he's going to be healed. God said, I'm going to heal him. And so his wife shared with him. And one day, this guy comes, has the cancer, he comes in the store there to see his wife. And she said, I want to introduce you to our manager, one of our managers. She takes him over to him. And the guy sees him, and he recognizes him because he saw him in the dream. Never saw him before. He saw him in the dream. And the guy said, God's going to heal you today. And the guy said, well, I don't think so. Doctor says, there's no chance I can live. And he said, I'm prepared to die. I'm okay with it. And he said, no, God wanted to show me he's going to heal you if he wasn't going to heal you. And he says, can I pray for you? The guy said, sure. So he prayed for him. And while he's praying for him, people started walking up there around him. And he prayed for, I don't know how many people that day, and a lot of people were healed instantly. The guy goes back the very same week to the doctor there, and they do a PET scan on him. They said, there's something happened. We can't understand because you should be dead in a week, and we can't see one single solitary cancer cell in your body. Now, let me just give you a little twist here. What if he saw that and heard that and never said anything? I know God's grace and God's sovereignty, you know, but do you think maybe if he hadn't done that, that guy might have died? But God gave him an opportunity. I think God gives us, he speaks to us so many times about people to release a gift into their life, and we just don't pay any attention to it because we're afraid what's going to happen. I'm just going on different things, but I want to just be real quick because we're going to do some ministry right here. Well, it's done 8 o'clock. Criteria of being God's spokesperson. The first one is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, you can't minister out of your dryness. you got a ministry out of that overflow. And so many times, you know, the only time we ever get in the fullness of the Spirit is maybe in a conference or church. We get in here and we get in good worship like we had tonight and get in the presence of God. But, you know, we're to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Always. I mean, I don't care where you are, what time of day it is, or if you're on vacation or you're working, whatever. We're to be filled with the Spirit. Because, you know, that's where he speaks to us out of the Spirit. The second is, you have to have a strong desire to be used in the Spirit, in the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing, giving way to each one individually as he wills. Now, if I had a gift box here and I'm going to say, I've got a gift for you, well, you'd probably take it. But, you know, you say, well, I don't really want that. Well, he'd go down, I've got a gift for you. Would you like a gift? And you might not want it, but you might want it. See, he's only going to give to who he wills. Doesn't mean, y'all, you know, God says he's no respecter of persons. He's not going to bless you because he likes you better than he does Cindy. He's going to give to everybody. It's the same. I mean, there's no difference in our love with God. God loves us all the same. But he gives who he wills. And I want to tell you what, I believe he wills those that desire it. Those that desire it. Read to you verse 31 out of the Passion, 12:31. It says, but earnestly, what's that? Really desiring some. Earnestly desire and strive. That means claw your way there. Do whatever it takes. You know, I think a lot of people never walk in the gifts because they don't really desire them. We don't really want them. You know, let somebody else have them. I don't want to get messed up in that humble jumble kind of stuff. I don't want to do that. You know, I'm not good enough. I don't have enough knowledge. I don't have a doctorate. I don't have theology. I don't have a lot of Bible knowledge. Earnestly desire. He's talking to everybody in the church. Earnestly desire and strive for the greater gifts. If acquiring them is going to be your goal. See, if you just kind of want to, if you just kind of want to say, well, I just kind of like to want to do some miracles. I just kind of like to have some supernatural faith every day. I just kind of like to be able to have a word of knowledge every now and then. If you just kind of want to, you're probably not going to get to. You got to earnestly strive and desire for them. Now we'll read that same verse out of the Amplified. Aren't you glad we have different translations to just kind of reveal things? But earnestly desire and strive for the greater gifts, if acquiring them is going to be your goal. Again, just keep striving for it. You know, I didn't get the Passion there, did I? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't read the Passion a while ago. Oh, the Passion says, verse 31, but you should all, who? Constantly, 24/7, constantly boiled over with passion in seeking the higher gifts. He said, boiled over with, that is so fiery on the inside. I'm not going to settle for less. Did you know God doesn't want you settling for less? He wants you to have more. And when you get more, God don't want you to settle there. He wants you to have more. God wants you to keep going and going, growing and growing and growing and growing. You know, I'm going to read chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to read out of the New Living Testament. It says, let love be your highest goal. But you should also, you know, love's our highest goal, not the gifts. But you should also desire the special abilities that the Spirit gives you, especially the ability to prophesy. I wish I had time to go in John chapter 16 there. But that, if you read chapter 16 there, Jesus reveals to you the purpose of the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. How do you get guided in truth? Not just for direction of life, but in everything. It's through the voice of God. And he will show you things to come. Is that not prophecy? I mean, the greatest prophetic picture is in the Bible is the whole book of Revelation. I mean, it just blew John away. I mean, there's things John, he didn't know how to describe. He just wrote down what he saw and what he heard. But why? For you and I. The Holy Spirit will never force you to flow in the Spirit, any gifts of Spirit. I mean, you come here tonight and say, well, I don't want to flow in the gifts. God's not going to beat you up and throw you out. No. He's going to miss a blessing. But somebody's going to miss a blessing because you weren't obedient to God's voice. He's not going to make you do anything. He's not going to make you get baptized with the Holy Spirit. He's not even going to make you get saved. But he desires for you to get saved. He desires for you to be filled with the Spirit. He desires for you to walk in Spirit-filled life, lead a Spirit-filled life. He desires you to walk in righteousness. He's not going to make you. That's your choice. Number three, we minister from his presence, not towards his presence. See, I think, you know, I don't like people coming in church here, speakers, and feel like they got to prophesy. That's merchandising the gift. I think prophecy ought to be led by the Spirit. You know, remember Paul rebuked some that were prophesying and casting out demons for profit. See, it's a gift. It's a gift. But, you know, in order to release the gift, we don't release it from right here. We get it right up here and bring it down here. We minister everything from the presence of God. If you're preaching, you don't preach from down here. You preach from up there. If you're teaching a class, you don't teach right here. You teach from up here. You teach from the presence because that's where the presence of God is. That's where God speaks to you. So we need to learn how to get into the presence of God that we might minister towards earth with his presence. Fourth one, God will tell you what to say, but you have to say it. God will tell you what to say, but you have to say it. You know, I want to say a shocker to some of you. If you have an urging, let's just use the word an urging, if you have an urging for a prophetic word, there's just something stirring on the inside. I know it, and you should learn to know it too. I mean, there's times I thought, man, I am going to bust if I don't get this out of here. If you have this urging, and you know it's the will of God, see, God's not going to ever have you give a word of knowledge or word of wisdom or a tongue of interpretation or a prophetic word that's not his will. But if you have this urging, you know, I just feel like, and sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I struggle right here. I really struggle. I remember I had a word about a year or so ago, about 2 years ago, and I never had given this word before. And I said, I just kept hearing this. God said, I'm healing somebody with a genetic disorder. And you know, you can't see a genetic disorder unless you got a microscope. And I kept pushing it down, pushing it out. This can't be God. It's not God. God said, I'm healing someone with a genetic disorder. And I mean, I thought I was going to bust on the inside. And so I got up and I said, I think I've never had this word of knowledge before, but God is healing someone with a genetic disorder. and I saw her face. She's sitting right there where Susie. Tears. I mean, when I said that, tears, just like a dam broke. And she came down. She said, nobody knew that except me and my husband. I was born with a genetic defect. And by all rights, I should be dead by now. I've had all the symptoms. Doctors confirmed it all my life. I've had it. And there's no cure for it. And did you know the last time I talked to her, she's not had one single solitary symptom? Amen? So, if you have that urging, you know, I want to just tell you to declare it. You know, here's where I want to step off in some deep water. If you feel like you've got a word of knowledge for someone or a prophetic word, and you've learned that it's the Holy Spirit inside you stirring it up, give it. Go ahead and give it. And here's why, I'll tell you why. I believe God will back you up sometimes. I think sometimes I've had something there, and it was will of God, but I might not have gave it on the unction of the Holy Spirit, but I gave it, and God healed him. Because Job 22:28 says, you declare a thing, and I will establish it. You say it. You speak it out. If you'll speak it out, if it's lines up my will, he said, I will establish it. In other words, that word means I will build it, I will produce it, I will finish it, I will complete it. You just declare it. Fifth, don't be afraid about being wrong. Man, I tell you what, I don't know if you ever get over that or not. You know, we have this old self-pride deal. Well, what if I give a word and nobody responds? I've had it happen. But you know, I'd rather be wrong than miss it. And I miss it. I had a word the other day, two or three Sundays ago, and I had a prophetic word, and people come down, and God was healing them just right and left. And, oh, you had a word, and I can't remember what your word was, and God was healing. It was a emotional healing. Yeah. And so people were getting this, and I heard, and so I'd kind of quit praying for people, because everybody I'd prayed for had been down here at the altar. Lynn was still praying for people, and I had other people praying. And, Wayne Lyles, or LaVon Lyles, started bringing somebody down here. Well, before she came down here, I heard God said, I'm healing somebody of cancer right now. And I thought, oh, no, Ty, you know, I mean, that's kind of getting emotional now. You know, you didn't give it. Things are working. You know, service needs to be continued on. Don't get into something else there. Didn't give it. After service, I mean, God hit me right between the eyes. I said, I saw you brought a friend down. He's been diagnosed with cancer. Wow. Had a word one day, and it's right when I started flowing in the word of knowledge. And I said, God is healing somebody here that has an incurable kidney disease. Said it three or four times. Nobody come down. I mean, I felt about this big. And I thought, man, I blew it. You know, we have this whole self-pride deal. You know, I don't want to feel like I missed it, you know. Next time I have a word, they won't have no confidence in what I'm saying. We have this deal. We have fear of doing that. And I walk out there at 4 after search over with. This lady comes up to me, and she's from Oklahoma City, just drove by here visiting. She said, I should have responded to that altar call. She said, I have this incurable cancer disease. And said, the doctor says there's no hope. I should have came. And so I prayed for her. You know, I believe God's grace, I don't know what happened to her, but I believe God's grace covered it. But, I mean, I think it's response. You know, I believe when we do miss it, I think we do miss it. You know, what do we do? What if you give a word and you miss it? I mean, don't get embarrassed about it. I think, to be honest, you know, probably the disciples missed it a time or two. Maybe they didn't. And so, just repent, but don't quit. Just keep on. Amen? Are y'all getting anything? You know, sometimes you weren't wrong. They just missed it. They just missed it. You know, sometimes people just don't, you know, you heard from God and they heard from God, but even though they heard from God, they don't want to respond because what if they see me come down the aisle? Nobody knows about this except me. The last one is you weren't skilled and comfortable the first time you rode a bike. And then when you first time you flew the gifts, you're not going to be comfortable. We're going to wobble, you're going to falter, you're going to quiver, you're going to shake, you're going to do everything else. But I want to tell you what, the more that you use these gifts that God has given you to use in the church, the more that you begin to flow in, the more comfortable you are. See, when you get rid of this old pride, what if I miss it? What if it doesn't happen? You know, what if I didn't hear from God? Get over it. Get over it. Get over it. Get over it. All right, ladies, what do you got? Come on. You got something, Leanne? Okay.
Well, mine is the word fear. And it's, you know, I think all of us have fear of one thing or another, but God was saying that it's a debilitating fear of your past, that you're going to go back to your past, something that happened in the past that you're afraid that you're going to go back to. And then it's a real strong fear. And he says that he wants to set you free from that. He says that he hasn't given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And he said that the power is the power he's anointed you with to get free from that, to break free from whatever that fear is that you're scared of. And he says the love is his perfect love. When his love, when you accept that love into you, then you receive all that he has for you, which means that you receive freedom from that fear. He also said that just as we have, he talks about the one body with many parts. He says that, well, that's all one.
Okay.
It's all one. Mm-hmm. Is there someone that has a fear of the past, spirit of fear of the past, of going back into the past?
Okay. I'm not going to correct you. No, I want to say, you don't ask, is there somebody? There is somebody here. God wouldn't have gave her, there's somebody here who's got a fear of going back in your past. God would not have said that through her if there wasn't somebody here. So who's that person? Here's the question. Who's that person that you have a fear that you'll get back to your old ways? Amen. Amen. All right. Now go.
Okay.
Understand that?
Yes. Thank you.
All right.
Yes. Yes, it can. Is that you, too? Come on up. Come on up. So he's given you the power that I was talking about, that he's anointed you with the power to get past this fear. He's given you his love that will saturate you and help you from not thinking of this fear, help you get past it, receive his love, to know how much he loves you and how much he loves that person that you're fearful for. He loves you that much that he's going to work through this. He's going to do the right thing for you, and you've got to trust in that love, that you're not going to fall. His love will not let you fall. Okay? And the sound mind. So when I got to sound mind, I was like, Lord, I'm still not getting that. And so I kept praying more. And he said, just as I say there's one body with many parts, that if one part suffers, all suffer with it. So what's happening is your mind is suffering because those thoughts are coming against you. They're bombarding your mind, and they're tearing you down. It's tearing down your whole body. It's breaking you. And so he says that it is a mindset and that he's made us free from that. So you're not who you were, and who you're afraid for is not who they were. Okay? They are the beloved of the Lord. You're the beloved of the Lord. You're God's prized possession. He's not going to allow you to fall back in anything that you were in before. You're lifted above that. You're not back there anymore. No more.
Here's torment.
It is. Yeah. It's torment.
If you're torment enough, you go back.
Mm-hmm. And he loves Jordan. Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Okay. All right. JD? What you got?
Okay, what I got was that what I heard from God is that there's someone here who is allowing just situations in life to interrupt God when he speaks, like squirrel, you know, and so not and so you don't feel like you're getting an answer. And so your trust and your faith begins to falter. So it's pretty strong, like you're driving down the road and you're praying and you feel like God's speaking to you. And then, oh, you know what, I forgot to go to the grocery store and get that, you know. And he's trying to speak, but, you know, oh, somebody said something to me ugly today or whatever it is. You're letting the world come between the answer. And so what he's saying is you're going to have to just be quiet and stop talking. Just be quiet. Praying is good, but you have to shh and listen for me. And he's longing to give you the answers that you're seeking. So who is there? Who's in here that's struggling with that?
You know, what she's saying is, I think that you're frustrated because you can't hear from God, because every time you try to hear from God, you get distracted. Amen. And God's going to set you so free. Amen. Amen. Is that you, too? Do you? All right, Ms. Lynn, you got something?
Sometimes the Lord does this for me, and all I got were these words: the straw that broke the camel's back. Somebody's here that either you've just said that. Okay. All right. And God didn't tell me what I'm going to minister to you, but I believe that he will. Shanta ta ki na na mo ka ta ta ki na na mo ha ta ta ki. Hani ni mo ka ta ta ki na na mo ka ta ta ki na na mo ka shanta ta ki. God is saying to you, Jeff, that the tribulation that you are walking through, other people have walked through this very same tribulation. And God is going to be faithful to bring you out, because he is making the way of escape. God is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. You are not alone. And when you hear yourself saying, well, that will be the straw that breaks the camel's back, know that God is saying, I am in you to strengthen you, and I will make the way of escape.
Amen. 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 Did you see that? I love the creative God always gives Miss Lynn. He gives her a picture, a word picture, a scene, or plays a video to her or something, or he just give her a phrase. And all she heard was the straw that broke the camel's back. Now, that don't sound too spiritual, but you had thought that. You thought, this is the last straw that broke the camel's back right here. You thought that. This, how long ago? Recently, right now, yep, you thought this straw. And she said she didn't know how to pray for you, but when she began to pray, God showed her how to pray. See, it didn't all come in one package. And a lot of times, it don't always come in one package. Sometimes you just got to get that first word out. Sometimes you got to get the first word, especially in prophecy. You know, when I have a prophetic word, I never have the whole deal down. You know, I mean, God's not going to let me write it down and copy it on my iPhone here and then repeat it. It just God just give me a word and begin to build on that, and God just begin to flow into it. All right? Well, I know it's late, so if y'all need, even anybody needs to leave, just leave. We bless you. But is anybody else having something just urging on inside them to stir up? Jay, come on. Amen.
Yeah, the Lord speaking to me before I got here today, and I heard him say something about 3 to 5 years. Is it that ring to anybody, 3 to 5 years? It might be something that he said also that you may have heard a word 3 to 5 years ago that just you hung on to. Is there anybody that brings a remembrance to or anything? No? Okay. Well, yes. Well, I'll tell you what he went ahead and told me. He said that you had been given a word 3 to 5 years ago, but it was really heavier on the three. And so that just bore witness with your spirit. 2016. It bore witness with your spirit. And as you was going along, you have just gone along with that, just ringing in your spirit. And you've been actually working towards that. But at times you've been wondering, why did that bear witness with me and it hasn't happened yet? And so Father is saying that this is your season. He said the time is now. That what you have been waiting for is here, because you almost had forgotten it. But in the back of your mind, you kept thinking, I'm doing everything you asked me to do. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And as I'm doing this, but you're still not seeing the fruit of it. And you know that rang in your being when you heard that. But it was somewhere around 3 to 5 years, but 3 years seemed stronger. But then he actually said in 2 Corinthians 9:10, it says, this generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant towards you. He says, first he supplies every need plus more. And he says, then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. He said that the time is now. This is your season.
All right. Well, this is a little strange, but there's someone here that there's in your life is a Catherine, and that may be a proper name, but it's could be a nickname. Kathy, there's a Catherine. Who's that? Catherine. You work with a Catherine. All right. Catherine. Come here. Come here. All right. What is Catherine in your life? Is there's a connection there? Well, you got Catherine's? Cousin Catherine. Is any of them in distress about anything? Okay. Constant distress, okay. That's what God showed me. In distress. Have yours? Okay. Liam, come here. I believe you're supposed to complete this. I just heard Catherine distress.
God, who knows the end from the beginning, knows a place that Catherine is fixing to walk through. And you are going to be the one that God wants to use to strengthen her, to encourage her, to help her get her feet on the right path.
I just now saw Catherine. She was drowning underwater and fighting the water. I mean, just frankly, fighting the water. And it wasn't just literal drowning in a swimming pool, but she is drowning. And God's going to use you to throw the life jacket to her. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got anything stirring up? All right. Come on, Miss Maria. Come on, Miss Bonnie. Miss Polly, come on.
This word is for this gentleman right here in the blue shirt. What's your name? Taylor. I believe the Lord is saying that he is calling you his champion warrior. He is saying that he has heard your prayers. He is also saying that he sees your heart and he is in love with your heart because of the man that you are growing to be. You are seeking him. There's some situations or some decisions you're going to be making. And he's going to want you to sit still before him and listen for instruction because he's going to download your answer. But he's going to want you to sit down and really listen to him because he doesn't want you to miss it.
Did that bear witness with you? It did? All right.
I just really appreciate that. You know, just personally and work and everything, we've had recent problems and stuff lately, and that really hits me deeply, and I appreciate that.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. See, that met the criteria of edification, exhortation, build up, encourage. Build up and encourage. That's what the gift is. All right, Miss Polly? It's got to be good wearing red and black. It's tech colors.
Last Monday, a week ago, I was at intercessory prayer with Miss Judy Aha. And after we prayed, we were praying, and then she said, I want everybody to put your hands up like this. And then she spoke a word that said, somebody tonight is going to have a dream, a vision, and I don't know who it is. And then she went on to tell, you know, she just said, and she spoke that into somebody's life that night. I have never had visions, ever, ever. And I hardly dream. But that night, I had a dream about you. A lot of people were at your house, and it was around, everybody was standing around the swimming pool. And there was two people that were drowning. One was a young adult teen kid, and then the other was an adult. And everybody was just standing around, and you were looking back at everybody and just, isn't somebody going to help me? I can't do this by myself. Isn't somebody going to help me? And I just got it. I stepped up, and you handed the kid to me with his hand, and I grabbed him and pulled him on out, and then you went and helped save the other person. And I didn't know what that was about or anything, and I told Bonnie about it because I was concerned, and I couldn't believe it happened in the first place. But Judy's been preaching stuff into us, to us, and getting us to see things that we can do, are able to do, and that we need to be doing, and that most of all we need to be helping you and standing behind our preacher. And like your word said Sunday, you can't do it all. That's what I heard. I can't do it all by myself. And that just reinforces that word, you know, that you gave. Plus tonight you said something about a swimming pool and somebody drowned in, and I just kept saying that over and over. Somebody's drowning. Can't we help? We got to help.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. All right. All right. Praise God. Amen. Well, one more. Anybody else got anything? Bonnie, come on, Miss Bonnie.
I'm excited because of something that happened to me Monday that is all about what you've been preaching tonight, and it's encouraging the body to listen to the Holy Spirit and to do. and to obey and to speak out. Well, I had a friend call me from Nebraska. She was running, she's a cattle rancher, and she was running to town to get some calf manna. And she thought of me, and the Lord gave her a word for me. And she said, it's going to be a word of encouragement. But it took her so long to tell me. She was timid about it. She says, I said, just say it. And so she said, Pontius Pilate. And I said, what? Pontius Pilate. She said, Bonnie, she says, I've just been overworked. My husband has a broken leg and I'm just overworked. She says, just maybe you can count it up to that. I said, no, I won't. I said, that's from God. Well, I was going to prayer, so I threw my Strong's Concordance on the table so it would be there when it got back, because I just couldn't wait to get into the Word to see what that meant. I said, encouragement, God? Well, the next morning, God gave her more. So she texts me, and she said, did you get anything, Bonnie? And I just said, I'm still digging. I've been digging for 5 hours in Pontius Pilate. And it was precious because it turned up being an encouragement. Because when we read about the account with Pontius Pilate, we're not focused on him. We're focused on Jesus. And it turned up being an encouragement. So I shared that word with you to don't take anything that you know that God says to you and says, oh, that's nothing. It's nothing, because that word ended up being an encouragement. When it, like Miss Luann said, the straw that breaks the camel's back, you're discrediting the word of God. The word of God is life, it's healing. Step up, folks. Do it.
Amen. All right. Praise God. Oh, hope you got encouraged to flow in the gifts. Get it, dig in there and begin to seek the gifts. And you know, the body needs it. And we need what God speaks to you through.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. For more information about this ministry, please look us up at www.arenaoflifechurch.org or contact the church office at 806-622-8000.